Welcome to Faith Football Friends with Chris Elrod,
Cole Parsley,
I'm Forrest Animaceris.
We are very excited to be here today talking about Faith Football and, well, our lives. But we have some big important news that we are kind of changing the format of the podcast a little bit. Instead of just having one episode a week, we're actually going to be having three episodes a week, one episode dedicated to each segment of the podcast. So you're going to be getting three 20-minute, roughly 20-minute podcasts per week instead of getting 1 hour or sometimes longer podcasts. So we're hoping to make these a little bit more listener-friendly so that you can listen to the specific topic that you're most interested in, but also be invested in all three if you want to. So we're very excited about that. Without further ado, we're going to get into our topic today of faith. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the part of the conversion process that I think gets ignored the most. Whenever you hear someone who is converted to Christianity, you hear them talk about what led them to become a Christian. You hear them talking about the process that they took to in studying the Bible and deciding to become a baptized believer, but you don't necessarily hear them talk about the discipleship process, the process of actually becoming a true disciple of Christ. And I'm very excited to talk to Forrest and to Cole about this topic today. Both of them have been converted to Christianity later in life. Both of them have completely different stories, and it's going to be very fun to hear what they have to say on the topic. I grew up in the church, and I remember my youth minister talking about there being two different types of Christians. There's the U-turn Christian and the stop sign Christian. The stop sign Christian is what I would be. I grew up in the church, and one day I just kind of stopped and said, you know what? I need to become a Christian. I need to accept Jesus as my Savior. I need to be baptized. And I was baptized. My sins were washed away. And then my life kind of just continued. I stopped, became a Christian, and then life continued. But Forrest and Cole, their life wasn't that simple. Their conversion wasn't that simple. They're U-turn Christians. They were headed in one direction, had to stop, make a U-turn, and head toward Christ. So I'm very excited to hear them describe that process and how they were able to become strong disciples of Christ. Forrest, what were some of the biggest difficulties you had in becoming a faithful Christian or an active disciple in God's church? And Cole, then we'll move to you with the same question.
So for me, I think some of the biggest difficulties big part of the challenge was just my family, So I grew up in a household where I was going to be the only one going to church on Sunday mornings. And sometimes that was really hard because, and I know church attendance isn't the totality of one's discipleship, but that definitely was very important to me and very formative in me becoming the Christian I am today. But, Sunday was kind of like the day off. It was the day everybody had off of work and everybody had off of school. It was the day to, just have a good time, go to the lake, go to an amusement park, go to the beach, go do something fun. It was like the family fun day. So having to wake up, get ready for church by myself, and then get this invite while I'm going out the door to go do something fun with my family, and then kind of having to make that decision every single week for myself of whether or not I was going to go to church, that was pretty hard. And I will say that the great Christians who were around me made it a lot easier and helped me to be accountable and helped me to, want to go to the gatherings of the church. And a big part of that was oftentimes I had, something to do at church. I had some kind of responsibility. So even if I wanted to be like, oh yeah, I'll go to the beach, I would say, sorry, I have to read the scripture this morning. Like, I can't go to the beach. So even like I at least could use that as an excuse. Even if I didn't want to give a whole defense of Christianity right there, I could at least say, well, I have a responsibility I have to do. And of course they understood that, you know, and it wasn't that big of a deal. So that's one example of something that helped me. And I know that's just like with that little struggle, but yeah, I'd say that.
That's interesting, Forrest. One of the things they talk about in youth ministry is how leadership within the church or is very beneficial in helping students stay faithful because it gives them responsibility and helps them kind of develop their own faith and see that they're needed in the church and that they're not just there for no reason, but that they actually have a purpose within God's kingdom. And so I thought that was really interesting. And I think I thought it was just on a personal note, side note, I thought it was interesting that you like mentioned how Sunday was like the day where people would go to the lake or the amusement park. And then you mentioned going to the beach. Like, you're the only person I know who lives in an area where they could just casually do all three of those things in the same day if they wanted to. You know, like that's pretty cool. That's really cool. All right, so Cole, what about you? What were some of the difficulties you had experienced in becoming an active Christian or a faithful disciple?
As you guys know, my story is a little bit different in the sense that I came from a place of confusion when it comes to knowing Jesus, a place of just so many different. Like, if you were to take every denomination and just mix them together, all the teachings, it wouldn't taste good, right? It'd be like taking ketchup, mustard, and pancakes and just mixing it all together, and it's not a good situation. But I would say what helped me the most is part of my discipleship process. I'm going to give two things. First was I came at a time where I was living very, very much like a Gentile, very much like a sinner. But in the world's terms, I was just being a college kid, right? But as we know, drinking and partying every weekend is not a good lifestyle, especially when you're getting drunk. So that's where I came from. And that was just such a hard thing to get away from because most of my friends, not all, a lot of my friends were doing those things. So every week, as I'm trying to live a godly life, there's the constant ploy, the constant desire on my part that I'm fighting, the temptation I'm fighting, but also just people saying, hey, look, this is going to be crazier than ever. This is one you can't miss, Cole. Come on, let's go. And then I'm like, oh, I can't miss it. You know, just this once. And so that was the big temptation, was just fighting that temptation. And what helped me was staying in the scriptures. It literally was like, you know, you hear Jesus say, this is your daily bread. It was my daily bread. If I didn't read the scriptures, guess what? I was that much more likely to fall. I mean, there was one occasion where I remember going to like this social gathering where my friends were at. It wasn't a party or anything, but afterwards was a party I was being invited to. And as I'm fighting the temptation, I said to myself, I should have read my Bible this morning. And I didn't. And then I actually ended up falling that night to the very thing I was trying to beat. So I would say staying in the scriptures, new Christians, man, that especially, that is something I had to lean on, and with prayer. Not that every Christian doesn't, but as a new Christian, it was vital. The second tip I would give, or the second thing that happened to me, was sticking to myself. And I'm kind of from a unique situation, but I had to make Christianity my own. Everything I learned, it had to be not from what a preacher said. And if I tell more of this story, it'll make more sense. But just my Christianity is my own. If I believe something, it's because I know where the Bible says it and what's said about it, if that makes sense. And having, you know, people that understood that around me.
That's an interesting and great point. It's interesting to me on how you both took that from two different angles. To some degree, like the challenge that you both faced revolved around the people in your life, you know, Forrest with his family, and then, Cole, you with your friends. That was a big source of the conflict there, which is just very, very interesting to me. Forrest, what do you have to add?
I was just going to add that another thing that helped me, and it kind of goes along with what I said before, was I almost had somebody who was essentially like a mentor to me. So the guy who studied with me a lot and helped me to come to Christ and to be converted, it wasn't like once I was baptized, like he stopped talking to me. You know, like we went from studying every week to like hanging out together every week. And, you know, he bought me my first Bible and I was over at his house all the time. And like, we were like good friends. And I feel like that really helped me out a lot too. Not only just to keep me accountable, but to just feel like I wasn't out here facing this on my own, you know? So I would say that between like the community of believers and just giving me things to do, but also just like pretty much like a mentor who I could talk about all my different questions with, who was just there for me, who was invested in my success, just really was huge at that point, because I couldn't really go to a lot of my other people that I had trusted in my life because they just didn't have that side of things in their life. So to be able to go to somebody like that who I trusted and I was close with, really helped a lot too.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's really awesome. They talk about that all the time. Like, you know, people say, you know, it's not over once they come out of the water. You got to keep, you know, you got to keep walking with them and things along those lines. And I'm thankful that that the person who studied with you and who helped you did that, because I definitely believe it made a huge impact in your life. One of the things I see both of you have is just such a strong hunger for God's word and for knowing truth. Cole, you've talked about this a little bit in the last little bit of what you were saying, just hungering for knowledge and wanting to kind of verify everything you believe. Forrest, Cole, where do you think that hunger comes from? Where do you think that desire for knowledge comes from? Because it's something that I see in people who have been converted or who have come to Christ later in life that I don't necessarily see within among my peers who have grown up within the church.
So I would say I think everyone should have a hunger for God's word. I think first and foremost, everyone should. But I have seen that same trend that you mentioned, Chris. And maybe it's just you don't know what it's kind of like. You don't know what you have until it's gone, or you don't know what you have. You don't know what you have if you've always had it. Maybe it's that sense. But recently, I talked about shame is the greatest apologetic argument for Christianity. The fact that I know what I used to feel like when I laid down at night, the emptiness, the loneliness, and now I no longer feel that. Now I no longer have a void in my heart. That is the greatest defense for Christianity. And for the unbeliever, they haven't experienced it yet, but they still know what they feel. They still know the shame that they feel. I never want to go back there. I never. You know, when I turned away from my previous lifestyle, I know what that was like, and I never want to go back. Just that's what drives me.
That's awesome. I think you're definitely onto something. Like, you kind of take it for granted if you've always had it. You know, you don't appreciate it. You don't really realize what's there. You don't really realize what God has given you in His Word, and so you kind of just take it for granted, and you don't go all in like you would if you didn't realize if you did realize what you had, I guess. So I think that's a really good point. Forrest, what about you?
Yeah, I would say a lot of the same. You know, big part of it is we just almost naturally kind of scorn that which is familiar to us. You know, when Jesus goes to his hometown and he tries to preach to them, they're like, wait a second, aren't you that carpenter's son? Like, they weren't as impressed as everybody else because they like grew up with him. And sometimes, you know, I don't have those memories of my parents reading the scriptures to me or of me having a Bible when I was a kid or anything like that. So it's like, I don't know. It was just such a shock. Maybe, Cole, you felt the same way when you actually, like, when things actually started to click and you actually became a Christian, like, reading the Bible is just, like, crazy. Like, for the first time with this new lens, you know? And so, yeah, so that was really a big part of it. And just, like Cole said, not wanting to go back to where I was, but also part of it for me was I feel like I had a lot of catching up to do. because the people my age who grew up in the church, they knew where Leviticus was. You know what I mean? Like, my Bible knowledge wasn't just like zero. It was like negative 100. Like, I was just so ignorant of everything. And it wasn't like a competitive thing. It was just like, well, if I'm living this out, I needed to know this well, you know? So there was just that fire to know it better, because I had never learned anything personally from the Bible, really, at all. So just that, you know, that desire, but then also that fire of, wait a second, if I'm living according to this thing, I should know what's in it, and I don't know anything about it. So you just got to start. And then, you know, once you start, it's like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Very insightful. And I appreciate what both of you had to say there. Cole, you said something that was interesting, though, because you said everyone should thirst for knowledge. And other than it just being taken for granted, like, what do you think prevents people from thirsting for knowledge? Because everyone would agree with that statement. You know what I mean? But, like, what do you think keeps people from thirsting for knowledge?
They don't recognize, and this is me too, I'm not always on fire to read the scriptures, right? But I try to be. And where it, what it comes down to is recognizing you have questions that are unanswered. So there are things you don't know about God and the Bible that you need to know. There are questions you don't know how to defend for someone who asks a specific question concerning God, who's maybe is an unbeliever or a skeptic. You don't have all the answers. What are you going to do if this happens? You need to be prepared. You need to have an answer. It's kind of like if someone perhaps is a Christian and they don't take studying the Bible seriously, they don't take growing in their theology seriously, and all of a sudden there's a death in their family. Maybe their son dies. Well, now all of a sudden they're asking the question of, how could God allow this to happen to me? Well, there's a real world situation that it's kind of weird to use the term, makes them excited to read the Bible, because they're certainly not excited at this point, but they're hurting, and there's a question they need to solve of, you know, the problem of evil. So that would be an example.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think, unfortunately, I think sometimes people are afraid of their questions. You know, like, I think people, maybe they have a question, but they're like, well, I'm scared of what the answer might be, and so I'm not going to pursue the answer to that question. You know, but that's kind of sad. And, you know, that's not why God gave us the Bible, so that we could be afraid of him. You know, God wanted to reveal himself to us through his word, and, you know, we shouldn't be afraid of what we might find in there, because we know who wrote it, a very loving and kind God. Forrest, what do you have to add?
Yeah, I would say too, sometimes we forget that sometimes God is going to answer our prayers through our Bible reading. Like, if we ask God to help us get over something, or to help us have some peace of mind about something, or to help us have wisdom about something without going to his word, I'm not saying he can't do those things any other way, but I'm saying, like, at least from where I am with my study, that's the primary way he's going to do some of those things, through what he's already given us in his communication, through his Bible, through our, you know, through his word. So I think, like, we just forget, myself included, just how crucial it is, not just for, like, being prepared, but just for our own lives. Like, the Bible is that sharp sword that, like, cuts down into us. The Bible is that means of transformation. Like, how are we going to renew our mind when we're just ingesting in our mind the same old stuff, you know? So I think just, like, sometimes we forget that in Bible reading, we have everything to gain and nothing to lose. And it's just about making those sacrifices to make the time to do it. You know, I think that mindset, when that mindset comes across, you know, it becomes a little easier. But you know, something just to kind of stay reminded of and keep in mind, I think.
Someone please tweet that. In Bible reading, we have everything to gain and nothing to lose. That was quote-worthy. Is that actually from you, though? Because this it's not the first time that I've thought, wow, that was quotable, and then you tell me that you just quoted someone else.
If it's not for me, I don't know where it's from. So this one, I actually am not ripping somebody off, to my knowledge. But, you know, I might want to Google search it.
Yeah, I'd also like to add, Forrest mentioned the Bible, the scriptures are like a double-edged sword. He's referencing that verse. I also believe part of the reason people don't want to go to the Bible is the fact that it is like that double-edged sword in the sense that it pierces body and soul, right? It hurts sometimes when you read the Bible and all of a sudden your lifestyle, the things you like doing, you realize, oh man, maybe I shouldn't be doing those things. It hurts, and a lot of growth hurts. And so every time you come to the Bible, it's a little painful in the sense that if you're living in sin, you need to correct it, and it convicts your heart. It's also a great hope. I want to read Psalm chapter 1 real quick. I love this passage. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." So blessed is the one who's not living in sin, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So there we see scripture, but whose delight is in the law. Verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. In other words, when you're studying God's word, when you're loving God's word, your life will be blessed. And this isn't the health and wealth gospel, but that principle is true to a certain extent. When you're with God, when you're deep in a relationship with God, when you're doing the things you should be doing, and when you're actively seeking out God's guidance through his word, you will be blessed and you'll come out a much happier person.
I'm glad you mentioned Psalm 1, because as we were talking earlier about how the people in your lives were kind of one of the big conflicts that you had in becoming a faithful Christian or acting out your Christianity. Psalm 1 came into my mind because it talks about, you know, not walking in the counsel of the wicked and that kind of thing. So I'm glad you brought that up, because it shows a lot of good insights into what you both have said have helped you act out your Christianity or to put into action your faith. And so I'm really glad you pointed that out, because even if throughout the rest of the psalm, it does begin to talk about studying God's word and appreciating it. And so I'm very, very thankful you pointed out Psalm 1. Very, very insightful there. Okay, so we talked about this a little bit last week, I think, with Forrest and you developing prayer habits. But Cole, I would like for you to I'd like for you to talk about prayer as well and developing that habit. Because I know people who have even grown up in the church who sometimes struggle with what to say to God in prayer. And so I would just like for you all to talk about developing that habit, how you learned what to say to God in prayer at a later stage in life, and any advice about prayer.
I know we've had our separate discussions, personally, the three of us, on, like, you know, do we pray to God the Father? Is it okay to pray to God the Spirit? Is it ever okay to pray to God the Son? For me, prayer has always been this laid back atmosphere. It's me and my Father. And I don't know where I picked this up at. I think it's scriptural. I think it's okay, you know. I just have a conversation with God. Like, legit, that's all I do. Sometimes I'm praying and I'll sit for like a minute where I don't say anything. But yeah, prayer, I know there's these passages in which Jesus says, this is how you ought to pray. And in that is starting with thanksgiving. It's starting with, Lord, lead me not, you know, let me not be tempted to sin, and different things. And I think that's a great guideline, but I don't think it's something that you say you can only pray this way, right? I think we're talking to our Father who loves us. And
yeah, great insights there. Okay, so Forrest, what about you? I know you talked about this a little bit last week. I hope you don't feel like you're repeating yourself, but give us some insight into your prayer life.
No, I think it's a really good question, because if you've spent your whole life really not really praying, and then you become a Christian, you start praying, it's like, what do you say? And usually what we do is just end up repeating the people we hear pray. You know what I mean? Like, I was put on the Lord's Supper table like the week after I became a Christian. What am I going to say? You know, dear Lord, thank you for this bread and what it represents to us as Christians. You know, the body of your Son, Jesus, who hung on the cross for our sins. Let us partake in a manner pleasing to you. And then you end it. Like, where did I get that from? I just picked that up from somebody.
That's what we say in Tennessee, too.
I don't know how that happened. It's like there's some kind of catechism or something, but just unwritten. No, but like for me, I think the thing that's been most beneficial to me, and Cole kind of touched on this, but for me, it's seeing how people prayed in the Bible, and not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. And especially the Psalms, like a lot of the Psalms is communication between whoever the psalmist is in that particular psalm and God, and how he talks to God and stuff like that was really impactful to me. Just praising God, thanking him for all that he's done. And one of the things that really, especially in the Old Testament, the psalmist will say a lot, and Daniel, you know, thank you for saving us for your great name's sake, or thank you for saving us by, you know, because of how great you are. Like the emphasis of the salvation is never on the individual, it's on God, which is really interesting and something that's always stuck out to me. And then Jesus, one thing that really kind of impacted my prayer life was in Greek class one time when we were going through John 17 and translating from the Greek, Jesus's prayer to God the Father and how Jesus approached God the Father and the things that he asked for. And I know some of that is a particular context, but you know, a lot of times I start my prayers how Jesus started his, where he says, Holy Father or Righteous Father, depending on your translation. And just that connection of who God is, who he is to you, and asking for those things. But I do think, you know, it can be casual, like Cole said. Like, it doesn't have to be. Sometimes we make it too formal. Like, when Paul said, pray without ceasing, if it's really going to be without ceasing, it can't be that formal. You know what I mean? It can't be like a formula. It's got to be, I'm talking about my immediate needs. I'm talking about what's going on. And actually, Hiram, which we all know, I was talking to him today about something. He was actually giving like a presentation at a preacher's luncheon in our area. And he was talking about, he was reading this book about really our addiction to technology in this culture. And I guess they did some kind of study and somebody picks up their phone, like something like 1200 times a day, something crazy like that. Like that's the average. And Hiram was just thinking, saying like, what if every time you picked up your phone, you said a quick prayer to God? You know what I mean? Or something like that. And like, what if you got into that habit of like going, like we're picking up our phone constantly. What if we replaced that with prayer or did prayer during that time or something like that? And I haven't started that, but that's one thing. As far as like what to say, how I'm going to address my prayers, I just really try to lean on what I read in God's word and less on what I hear in the assembly. Personally, that's been something that's helped me.
If you look at the Psalms and how David is praying to God, it's not formal. It's just whatever comes to mind, whatever my heart feels, that's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to ask for. It's very emotional, and that's the opposite of formal. Also, I think of prayer as not so much constant speaking to God, but spending time with God, right? Even if I'm just like not saying anything, looking at the stars, looking at out at fields, whatever you want to say, I'm just there with God.
That's interesting. I want to just piggyback on something Forrest mentioned about the Psalms. It's been pointed out to me before in the Psalms and Wisdom Literature class that I took that the psalmists pray nothing like we do. Like they kind of almost get almost like sassy with God to some degree. Like that there's this expectation, though, that God is going to hear their prayers and answer their prayers because of who God is and because of their faithfulness to God. And so, like, something I've tried to do is in praying to God, I try to talk to God about how great he is and the confidence I have that he's going to answer my prayers because of his greatness and because of how I strive to live faithful to him and just kind of recognizing the fact that God is on my side and that God is great. I think that's very powerful. And I think that's great advice to look at the scriptures and to see how people pray throughout the Bible. I think that was very insightful. And I think it's very insightful to view prayer as spending time with God and to kind of focus on the fact that God, the creator of the universe, the creator of the stars and everything is hearing what you are saying and has your best interest at heart. You know, I think you could substitute prayer for Bible reading and what Forrest said earlier. And, you know, in praying, we have everything to gain and nothing to lose. That's, I think, just as powerful of a quote. So prayer is definitely something we can benefit from, and that is crucial to our walk as a Christian, no matter what stage of Christianity we are in. Well, these guys, Forrest and Cole, they may not have grown up learning Father Abraham or This Little Light of Mine, but they're certainly faithful Christians now, and it's been great to discuss with them the discipleship process and how they developed healthy habits as older humans coming to know Christ. And I'm thankful that they were converted. I'm thankful for the works that they're doing now. And I'm thankful that you were here to listen to our podcast. Hope you'll check in a few days to hear our next episode about football. Thanks.